Okay, we're starting here from the bottom of Lamed Chet Amud Bet, two lines from the bottom. Abaye Amar, we already had the positions of Ula and Rabba to explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah reminder has two cases in which the din is different. In the first case, we have a din in which the woman is allowed to trade in the Nichsei Malog, and it's binding whatever she does. In the second section, we have a Machloket. The only word that we have there is Meta, that she passed away. And then we have a machloket about what we do with those possessions. Beit Shammai says yachloku, and Beit Hillel says nechasim b'chezkatan. So we had Ula's explanation, which was that the first section is dealing with a safek arusa, and the second part of the Mishnah is talking about a safek nisua, in that the first one is where she felt a yibum through erusin, and the second case is where she felt a yibum mitocha nisuin. Rabba's critique of that was the word meta. According to you, you don't need the word meta at all. It has nothing to do with meta. So then Rabba moved into his position and suggested that both cases are a case where she fell mi nisua, and she is a safek nisua. Reisha di kayama avalei vadai vin hu safek. Sefer de meta, and the sefer where she passed away, lalu baim li reish, vahalu baim li reish, v'yachloku. In the reisha where she's alive, she has a vadai claim, and therefore her hold on the property is much stronger in that situation because her husband had predeceased her. In the latter half, we have competition because you're dealing with two parties that are coming on behalf of others. You have the Yorshei Abal and the Yorshei Aisha, which we deem as the Yorshei Av. And over there, they both have a safek claim, and therefore we're dealing with a safek versus a safek claim. And then the Gemara dealt with the Shita of Beit Shammai. Why does Beit Shammai say Yachloku? And the Gemara answered is because Beit Shammai believes Kol Shtar Omed LeGavot Ki Gavui Dami. We had a number of challenges from other places by Abaye. In each case, we answered that that is that position of Beit Shammai, that Kol Shtar Omed LeGavot Ki Gavui Dami. And that's how we understand the Shita of Beit Shammai in a number of places. And then we also were Midayek out of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is not dealing with the issue of Ketubah, but rather only dealing with the issue of Nichsei Melog. Now we're up to Abaye, who says, Reisha denaflu lakashish shum meret yabam. The Reisha is a case where she's in waiting, and the property falls to her. Seifa denaflu lakashish tachtab debal. Seifa is in a case where she is still married at that time, and the possessions came to her while she was married. Vika savar. Over here, there is a machloket rishonim as to how to read these positions of Abaye, and then we're going to see Rava who argues on him. We'll follow Rashi's shot over here. Just know that there are all of other alternatives, like the Rambam and the Ramban, all believe that the Abaye and Rava's machloket is only in the Shita of Beit Shammai, not in the Shita of Beit Hillel, whereas Rashi thinks it's in both Shitot. And there are, even within those that believe that it's in both Shitot, there's a question as to the level over here as machloket Rashi and the Rif about how to read this. So we'll start with Rashi. Rashi says here, Abaye yado ki yada, that his hand is as strong as her hand. So now we have to look at, like we did in yesterday's daf, what is the situation in a normal circumstance? And then what happens when we turn it into a case of shomeret yabam? So what Rashi suggests over here is, kasavar Abaye nisua, a married woman, yado ki yada. They are on equal level. The husband and wife are on an equal plane. Since they are on an equal plane, when the husband passes away and she is dropped to Yibum, then the Yabam has a right, like the husband, but at one level down. So if in a normal case of marriage, they're on an equal plane, Yado ki Yada, they both have equal claims on the property, then if she falls to be a Yivama, and as she is waiting, and she has a zika to the Yabam, the zika of the Yabam is not on the same level as being married, but one level down. And that means that in that situation, Yada, her hand is stronger in that case. So then we say, zika yado griya mi yada, v'nechasim b'chezkata. Therefore, the property is in her hands. Beit Shammai pligi v'amrei. And Beit Shammai argue in this case. And say, nisua yado is adifa mi yada, is greater than her hand. So the way Rashi is explaining it, Abaye is explaining to us the position of Beit Hillel, And Beit Shammai argues and says, no, that in the situation of Nisua, Yado is stronger than Yada in the case of marriage. Therefore, where she falls to be a Yivama, and you have the Zika of the Yabam, then he drops a level, and that means that Yado equals Yada. Now we'll explain their two positions. In a case where she was married, that's what we said here, Yado ki Yada, they're on equal plane. Now she falls to Yibum in that case. When she falls to Yibum, now we have the Yabam and her competing for control over the assets. So in a situation when she and the Yabam are competing for the assets, the Yabam has a claim, but only through Zika. She has a claim because she came out of the marriage. Her husband predeceased her. So if in the case of marriage, Beit Hillel says, Yado ki Yada, they're on equal level, the husband and the wife, then when she falls to be a Yivama, and you have the Zika of the Yabam drops down a level, and therefore he is on a lower level than she is. Yada is stronger than Yado in that case, and that's why Beit Hillel says that we look at the Nechasim Bechez Katan. Nechasim Malol, those are, the Karen belongs to her, that's going to stay with her because she has a stronger hand over here. In terms of the Ketubah, Beit Hillel says that the Ketubah was something that was in the possession of the Baal, never left the Baal, and therefore the Chazakah of the Yabam is strong enough over here, even though he has a lower strength than she does, but because she has yet to collect on the Ketubah, that stays with the Yoshea Baal. On the other hand, Beit Shammai believes that in a marriage situation, Yadog Adifam Yada. His hand is stronger than her hand. Hers control over the property is even stronger than hers. Therefore, when she falls to be a Yivama, the Yabam drops a level, now they're equal. Well, since they're equal, what do you do when you're equal? Safek Yachloku. And that is the Shita of Beit Shammai, and that is the way that Abayi explains the Machloket. Amar Lei Rovo, Idin Afli Lo Kishi Tachtav De Baal. Wait a minute. If the property falls to her while she's still married, to Kule Amalo Pligi, Diado Adifa Miyada. There's no way that anybody argues that he doesn't have better control here than she does. So he's arguing on this position that Beit Hillel believes that when they're married, that they're on an equal plane. No, when they're married, he definitely has Yoter Chazaka in all the property. And therefore, I don't see this distinction that you're drawing between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, because the default situation for Abaye according to Beit Hillel is Yado ki Yada, that they're on equal plane in Nisuin. Rava is coming along and saying that's just not the case. In Nisuin, everybody agrees that the husband has a much stronger hold here, and that means once they fall to Yibum, they're on equal level. Ela idi v'idi ninafalak shishomeret yabam. He says, no, both the Reisha case and the case in the Seifa are talking about a case where she is a shomeret yabam, not when she's married to her husband. So both of these cases, she's in waiting. Reisha delo avad ba mamar. The Reisha is a case where there was no mamar. Seifa davad ba mamar. And the Seifa is a case where there is mamar. So in the Reisha case where there is no mamar, there we have a case where the woman is in control of the Nichsei Malog. Because, again, they fell to her while she is waiting as a Yivama. And therefore, the Yabam has no real control over this. This is not something that came through the marriage. This is something that came post the marriage to her husband because she was already Yivama when this property came to her. And his Zika is not going to be strong enough to put a real hold on that. Except if there's mamar. If there is mamar, then we have what we know from before, from Beit Shammai. Because of a rova, mamar the Beit Shammai, who said, vadai arusa, v'safek nisua. Because mamar, according to Beit Shammai, the fi shita rova is, it makes her into a vadai arusa, and a safek nisua. Mamar has so much power, according to Beit Shammai, that it has impact. Even probably Midoraita, we saw a different shitot in the Amoraim as to what the position of Beit Shammai is. Rava is saying she is now becomes a Vaday Arusa and a Safek Nisua. Vaday Arusa litchot bitzara. She's a Vaday Arusa now to push out the tzarot. I mean, the co-wives now are out of the picture because of this mamar. And it also protects her from a problem of achot zukukato. If her sister also falls to Yibum, that will not ruin the possibility of Yibum between her and the Yabam, because the mamar is strong enough to push away achot zukukato. Safek nisua lachlok b'nechassim. It's a safek nisua to make them on an equal level with regards to the property. So that's how Rova explains it. Rova explains both cases are a case where she had already become a yivama. Just a question of what the Yabam's relationship with her is. According to Beit Hillel, the Yabam's relationship's the same all the way through. because either she's a Yavama, and if he performs Mamar, Mamar is only an institution, Dirabanan, and it doesn't have any impact with regards to the Nechasim over here. So in the first case where it fell to her while she was a Yavama, and she's still alive, so in that case, the property, according to Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, she has control over it, because there were Nechasim Malog that came to her while she was a Yavama. And even if we say that with regards to Nisua, when she is in Nisuin, that Yado is greater than Yada, and now where she falls to being a Yivama, we would have to downgrade a level, and they would supposedly be on the same level, and therefore she can trade in the same alone, according to both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. On the other hand, where the property falls to her while she's a Yivama, and then he performs Mamar with her, and then she passes away, according to Beit Hillel, the Mamar didn't do anything over here. The only thing that happened here is that she passed away. So when she passed away, let's look at Nechasim b'chezkatam, and we'll deal with who has a stronger hold here on the Nechasim. And with regards to Nechasim Malog, it'll be the family of the woman. With regards to the Ketubah, it'll be the family of the husband or the Yabam. On the other hand, Beit Shammai says, Mamar already made her into a Safek Nisua. That strengthened the bond between the Yabam and the Yivama. And since it strengthened that tie between them, that already makes it into a safek. If it's a safek nisua, then we are chukim, and that's why the Shita Beit Shammai is when she passes away in that case, that they split the possessions. So Abaye says that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are arguing about the level of nisuin, whether the husband is stronger than the wife's hold in nisuin, or equal to the wife. And then when we move over to the case of Yivama that's waiting, we drop at a level, because it's only zikat ha-yabam there. According to Beit Hillel, we drop from being equal down to being now unequal, where the woman has a stronger hold. And for Beit Shammai, we move from the husband being stronger to them being equal, and that's why they're chokim in that case where she passes away. According to Rava, on the other hand, everybody agrees that the husband has much more control than the wife when they are nisuin. The only question here is, once her husband passes away, and now she's a Yivama, once she passes away, then, again, Yado ki Yada means that they're on an equal level. But if the Yabam does something to ensure that there's a deep connection between them, if he does Mamar, then according to Beit Shammai, he's done something that creates a deeper connection between them. It strengthens the Yabam's pull on the property now. And because of that, it makes her a Safek Nisua. Since he's a Safek Nisua, they split the property. On the other hand, according to Beit Hillel, nothing happened with the Mamar. And so we're left with the case where the Nechasim b'chezkatan. But that's the explanation of Abaye and Rava according to Rashi. Again, I mentioned the Rambam, the Ramban, all say that Rava and Abaye are only arguing within the position of Beit Shammai, and not within the position of Beit Hillel. Yado ki Yada, or Yado is greater than Yada, is only a question with regards to Beit Shammai, not a question with regards to Beit Hillel, because Beit Hillel takes the more natural position. They say, while she's alive, she has control. If she passes away, then Nechasim b'chezkatan, and that seems to be the default that you would have said. Beit Shammai's got to explain why they don't say that. That's what Abaye and Rava are trying to explain over here. Why is Beit Shammai deviating from what would have been the natural course that Beit Hillel takes? And those Rishonim believe that this whole machloket revolves around Beit Shammai and not around Beit Hillel. Right now, the Gemara says, Itmar mishmeid Rabbi Elazar kaveta de Rava. We have a memra from Elazar that supports Rava. Vitmar mishmeid Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina kavata de Abaye. Then we have a ma'amar from Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina that supports Abaye. Umi amar Rabbi Elazar hachi. Did Rabbi Elazar really support the position of Rava? V'amar Rabbi Elazar ma'amar the Beit Shammai enu kone elo litchot b'tzara bilvad. Didn't we say earlier in the Masechta already that machloket amoraim with regards to what the power of Mamar is according to Beit Shammai, there Rabbi Elazar's opinion was that Mamar Beit Shammai Eno Konet does nothing except Lidchot Sara Bilvad, except to push out the co-wives, to prevent the co-wives from performing Yibum from that point forward, meaning that she becomes the only woman where something can happen. And it also protects her from a problem of Achot Zekukato. If her sister also falls to Yibum, that will not ruin the possibility of Yibum between her and the Yabam, because the Mamar is strong enough to push away Achot Zekukato. Where it says, Ipoch, flip the opinions in terms of support for Abaye and Rava over here. So Rabbi Elazar was supporting Abaye, and Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina was supporting Rava. Don't flip around the positions. When I said that it does nothing except knock off the tzarot, That means that I just said that it's not enough for this woman to get a get now. Ela debai nami chalitza. She also requires chalitza because of the ma'amar. The ma'amar is not strong enough to make her married to this individual where a get would suffice over here. The ma'amar is only strong enough to say the other co-wives are knocked out of the picture, but she still requires now to release her both a get and chalitza. But the chlok v'nechasim to lokani mi'amri. I didn't say with regards to the possessions that they're not koneh. I wasn't talking about the possessions. I'm simply talking about the relationship of yibum and chalitza over here. But with regards to the possessions, I might agree with Rava that they could be, according to Beit Shammai, it might be enough to put them into the position of a safek nisua through the ma'amar. So Amara Papa, diyuka de matnitan kavati de Abaye. The diuk out of the Mishnah supports Abaye's position. Va'avagav de kasha meita, even though for Abaye, the fact that she passed away is a problem. Diktani nichasim and nichnasim v'yotzimima. My nichnasim u'my yotzim. What does it mean that this is property that comes in with her and that goes out with her? Lav nichnasim l'reshut abal v'yotzim b'reshut abal. They go into the possession of the husband and they leave the possession of the husband l'reshut av and move into the possession of the father. V'af agav d'kashem meita. Even though meita is a problem for him because ad miflagei begufa l'achar mita. According to Abaye, he has the same problem that Ula had, which is, why do you have to argue about the case where she passed away? Liftego bechaya, Ula peirot. They could argue about why she's still alive and about who has possession over the output of the property. The 2 points I'm making are legitimate, valid, and you really can't have any objections to what I am saying. There's not much more to say about this. This is a problem for Abaye Shita in terms of Meita. Now, there is a diuk in the mission that supports him, but, nevertheless, there is a question that was the same problem that we had with Ula Shita, which is that the Meita on the Mishnah is not necessary according to him. So the support for him is that these are property that came in and went out, which seems to imply that this property fell to her while she was married, and then it leaves with her when the husband predeceases her, which would support Abaye's reading of the Mishnah, that the second case is a case where it fell to her while she was tachat abal. Because they nichnasim, they went in to the husband's possession, and yotzim, and then they left the husband's possession. That supports this understanding that there was a husband involved over here. And you could argue, and I'm assuming that's what Rava would say, is that nichnasim yotzim is talking about the normal case of nichsei malog. It's not talking about this particular case. It's talking about in general, women, when they bring in nichsei malog, they go into the marriage and they come out of the marriage with her. Not necessarily in our case, but the way that Rapapa is reading it, then that is supportive of Abaye's position that she was married to her original husband in the second case. But again, if that is the case, then why does she have to die? Simply by her husband passing away, the shaila comes up, not with regards to the underlying principle here, but the shaila comes up with regards to the peirot. So fine, yes, once she passes away, then the principle comes into play again. But in the case where she's still alive, the peirot, the produce or product or rental income or leasehold on the property comes up while she's still a Yivama. And you could have argued there, she doesn't have to pass away in order for us to argue about this case because Meita is not the trigger over here. Now the truth is, it looks like this question is also a question on Rava because the word Meita is not really relevant to Rava's explanation of the Mishnah. On the other hand, Tosafot over here says that according to Rava, Meita does have an impact, which is that Mamar is only effective in getting a kinyan on the Nechasim after she passes away. But while she's still alive, it does not have that impact. Nevertheless, the Mamar does have an impact that she won't be able to trade in the items freely, but it does not impact her control over the item. And that's why you set up the ratio in a case where there is no Mamar, and the latter half in Mamar u'meita. So Tosafot does help Rava get out of the question on Abaye about the word meita, but ain't ochanami, you could have just as easily posed the question on Rava as you do it on Abaye. And that might be the gist of the Gemara over here, that when they're asking an Abaye, because Rapapa is speaking of an Abaye, therefore brings in the other point about Abaye, but it's also true by Rava. Now, as far as Halacha is, it's not so clear here, because you have Rapapa's Abatra supporting the position of Abaye. So even though normally when we have a Machloket Abaye and Rava, the Halacha is like Rava, except for Yau Kagam. Those six exceptions where the Halacha is like Abaye. This is not one of those six exceptions of Yal Kagam. So why would you pass him like Abaye over here? The answer might be is because Rapapa supports him. Over here, it's not just the machloket of Abai and Rava. First of all, you have other Amuraim involved in the machloket. You have Ula and Rava as well. Beyond that, you have Rav Papa, who's a Batra, supporting Abai. So it's not just Abai and Rava. Now we're trying to decide between Abai and Rava. It's Rav Papa, and that's why it may not have been included in the normal Yal Kagam. But nevertheless, we would pass an aloha like Abai, and that's what Tosavot says. Balochot psukot Rav Yudai Gon Pasik Abai. The Rav Papa Batra Koi Kavatei. And the reason that they don't include in a Yal Kagam is because there is a greater machloket Amuraim over here. It's not just an Abayin Rava machloket. Those that disagree with what Tosafot is saying over here say because Rav Papa, who is the one bringing the proof, also brings the problem in Abayi Shita. So it's not so clear that the halacha should be like Abayi over here. And we move on to the next piece of the mission, which is Kansa. If he marries her, Hari he ishto dechol davar. She becomes a full-fledged wife. Lamai hilchata. Okay, what's the halachic ramifications of this? Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina lomar shemigarsha beget umachzira. Teaches you that first of all, if he wants to divorce her now, he only needs a get. He doesn't need chalitza. Number two is if he divorces her, he can remarry her. Migarsha beget pshita, that he can divorce her with a get. That's simple. Sakadat chamina hol biktiv. Pasuk says, ula kachal lo le yisha v'yibma, amar rachmona v'adayin yivumei arishon aleha. From that it makes it sound, v'yibma, that the original Baal still has some connection to her, even in the second marriage. So therefore, you would have thought, b'chalitza en b'ged lo, that the way to dissolve this marriage is only through chalitza, because she's still connected to the original husband, but not with a get. K'mash malon, that's not the case. Makzira, again, that he can be makzira's pshita. Now, Sagadat Chamino, I would have thought mitzvah deram yerachmana le avdo, or avra. The mitzvah that he did already, he accomplished, or it's already passed. The mitzvah of Yibum's done. Once he married her, he did the mitzvah of Yibum. Hashta tikum alei b'Yisrei Shadach. Now that he divorces her, she should go back to her original status and become an Yisrei Shadach. And we say no. Kamash Malon, that's not the case, and that if he divorces her, once he's been married to her, she becomes like any other wife. And Eshadach is gone. There's no Eshadach left in the world here. And if he wants to remarry her at that point, it's fine. Vema Hochanami. And why don't we say in Hochanami that he can't remarry her? Why are we so certain that he can remarry her? Samakra, Ulekacha lo liisha. Kevin Shalakcha, Areyug Ishto, the whole Davar. Since he already married her, she is his wife, Lechol Davar. Okay, we had, again, this Makloket earlier on in the Masechta between Rabbi and the Chachamim and the Chet Amud Bet, where Rabbi and the Chachamim argue for this, about the source for the fact that she's Harei Kishto Duchol Davar. So now, Ubavad Shetei Ketubata. Again, we said in the Mishnah that her Ketubah references the first husband and not the second husband's property. My Taima. Isha Hiknulo Min HaShemayim. The brother who's performing Yibam over here, in a sense, really didn't get a choice. He didn't choose to marry this woman. He's marrying this woman because his brother married this woman. And now he passed away without children, so now he performs Yibum. Now he might have been doing the Shem Mitzvah, but in the end, it wasn't his choice to marry this woman. Therefore, her Ketubah is on the assets of the first husband, not on the assets of the second husband. The lien is against the assets from the first husband. If the first husband is bankrupt or doesn't have sufficient possessions to have her have a lien on those possessions, then there is an institution, Chachamim, to protect her and give her a lien on the second husband, on the Abam's property, which is part of the institution. Rav Shimba Yochai talks about in the Masechet Ketubot, the institution of the Ketubah, and the fact that the Ketubah had a huge amount of money in it, and money that was not readily available, because they went through different stages of the Takana, so there were points in time where they had to set aside the money. But when you set aside the money, it goes, all right, you know what, take your money and yourself and get out of here. It was easy for them to divorce. So they made it that it would cause the husband hesitation to divorce his wife because it would cost a lot of money. And the money was not already in escrow. So here, she has a first lien on all of his property. And there's a nice big payment that comes out of the Ketubah. So he goes to divorce, he's got to really think about this because now he's got to pay out the Ketubah. And he didn't have the money set aside, so now he's got to go sell the property to pay the Ketubah. That's something that makes him take pause. It's especially important for Kohanim, because if they divorce their wives, they're not going to be able to take them back again. Here, they tried to make it so it wasn't so easy to throw the women out. The women had a much stronger connection or hold in the marriage because of their Ketubah. So in the case where she doesn't have any lien on the first husband's property, because the first husband didn't have property, then now if we don't provide for her now, the second husband is going to be in a position where he's just going to say, all right, you know, I could throw her out without any, there's no inhibitor here. So we want to create some sort of deterrence. So we say then we give a lien on the second husband's property, even though in a normal case that would not happen. Okay, next mitzvah, which is mitzvah begadol yabeim. It's a mitzvah for the oldest before Yibum. Lo ratzah, if he doesn't so choose, b'chalchim al kol ha'achim. We go to the other brothers to see. Lo ratzu, if they don't want to do it, chozrim etzel ha'gadol. Then they go back to the oldest. V'omrim lo, and they say to him, alecha mitzvah. It's your mitzvah. O chlotz, o yabeim. Go ahead. Perform chalitza or Yibum. Talabi katan, ad shiagdil. They say, you know what? There's a younger brother who is a minor. Let's wait until he gets old enough and let's see what he does. Or the oldest brother is not present. And they say, look, he's overseas. Let's wait for him. Or there's another brother who's a charesh or shote. Tosafot over here says he's trying to pawn her off onto brothers who are not going to be appropriate husbands. On the other hand, the Rambam says that this is similar to the other cases that we mentioned before, which is wait around. Wait around till they become healthy again. Wait around till he's not a charesh or he's not a shote. Ein shomim lo. We don't listen to him. Ella omrim lo alecha mitzvah o chlotz o yabim. Take your choice. You got to deal with it now. We're not going to make this woman wait around for a child to grow up. We're not going to wait around for someone to come back from overseas travel. We're not going to force her to deal with people who cannot marry her. You got to deal. That's it. It's your responsibility now. You have to deal with it. And obviously, these are cases where either it's the oldest brother saying about a minor, let's wait for him, or it's a case where the oldest brother is overseas. And now we're dealing with the next oldest brother. And he says, look, I have an older brother that really should be doing this. He said to him, it's too bad. You're the oldest present. The responsibility is yours. Deal with the situation that is at hand. Itmar, biat katan v'chalitzat gadol. So now here, the word katan here does not mean a minor. The word katan here means the younger brother. And so too in the Mishnah. In the first series of the Mishnah, when we go mitzvah begadol, and then we went through the other brothers, we're talking about other brothers that are of age. The only time we mentioned katan where it meant a minor was in the situation where he was young and we're waiting for him to grow up. In that case, it's a katan mamash. That's the only case where it's really a minor. So in this case, biat katan chalitzat gadol. The younger brother or youngest or younger brother is willing to perform yibum and the gadol is willing to do chalitza. Which one do we give precedence to? Pligi bar Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Machloket Amoraim. Chadamar biat katan adifa. We'll give precedence to Yibum, even if it's Yibum by the youngest, versus the chalitza of the oldest. V'chadamar chalitza gadol adifa. And one says that the chalitza of the oldest is better. So you can see this machloket through two prisms. You can see this machloket through the prism of what we've spoken about before, which is, what is chalitza vis-a-vis Yibum? Do we see Yibum and chalitza as equal options? If they're equal options over here, and the mitzvah is with the gadol, then the chalitza of the gadol will trump the Yibum of the Katan. On the other hand, if we see Yibum as being the real mitzvah here, and Chalitza is just a way to unwind it if you don't perform Yibum, then we would give precedence to the Yibum of the Katan over the Chalitza of the Gadol. So that's one way to look at their Machloket. The other way to look at the Machloket here is to say that we have two issues coming into competition. We have a competition between Gadol and Katan, which is one set of priorities. We want to give priority or the mitzvah to the gadol versus the katan. And then we have another set of priorities which says Yibum comes before chalitza. Now when they come into a clash, how do we deal with that clash? That might be the machloket amoraim here. Nothing to do with Yibum, the relationship between Yibum and chalitza. It might be clear that Yibum is better than chalitza, but we have another set of principles that are now coming into a clash with that, which is we want the oldest to do the mitzvah. So when you have that clash, what's the solution? So one Amora says the solution is that the Gadol gets precedence and that wins, that set of priorities wins. Or do we say no, that Yibum coming before Chalitza is the more important and that set of priorities wins. So those are two different ways to view this Machloket Amoraim that we have over here. Now the Gemara says, Mandamar Biat Katana Difa. The one who says that Biat Katana Difa, that mitzvah be Yibum. The mitzvah is to do Yibum. Mandamar Chalitza Gadol Adifa be mitzvah be Gadol. Be Makom Gadol Biat Katana Lav Kumi. In the face of an action by the gadol, the yibum of the katan is meaningless. So you see them expressing their machloket as being a contrast in priorities, and they're talking about which priority trumps over here. So again, that's one way to explain it. The other way to explain it is whether it's their view of the relationship between yibum and chalitza. So Tanan, our Mishnah. Lo ratza, makzirin kol achim. If the oldest brother doesn't want to do anything, then we check the other brothers. My love. Lo ratza li yabim. He didn't want to do yibum, elo lachlots. He wanted to do chalitza. Piktani mehalchim etel achim. So, and then we say we go check with the other brothers. Shmamina, biat katana, difa. So then it sounds like the biat katana gives precedence, because otherwise why are we checking with the other brothers? Where it says lo. Lo ratza lachlots, velo li yabim. He didn't want to do anything over here. He didn't want to act at all. So too by the other brothers. Wait, so then all the other brothers also don't want to do anything. Then Amai Chozrim Etzel Gadol. Why do you go back to the Gadol there? If nobody wants to do Yibam Chalitza, why do you force him to do it over anyone else? That Gemara says, Lemichvei. That has to do with the forcing situation. Who has, the in the end, who is the ultimate one who holds responsibility for dealing with this? So Lekvei did who? Why don't we force the other brothers? Why are you forcing the oldest brother? Came into mitzvah le'idide ramyo le'idide kaifinan. Since the mitzvah is to him in the first place, therefore we're going to come back to him and say the ultimate responsibility lies with you. If nobody wants to act over here, you're going to have to act, and you're going to have to deal with it. So even though nobody wants to do anything, nevertheless you have to do something because the mitzvah is associated with you. That's the way to explain it according to the Mandamar, that the chalitza of the gadol would trump. Tznan, talaba katan aj yagdil. If he's a minor and we say, listen, let's wait for the minor until he grows up, in Shomimla, we don't say that. It says, "Vi biat katana difa." If Yibum with the katan is better, am I in Shomimla? Why don't we listen to him? Nintar, let us wait. Dimo gadil miyabim. Maybe he'll grow up and will be willing to perform Yibum versus his brother wants to do chalitza. It says, "Utameich ubigadol shivo midinat hayam." According to your reasoning, how are you going to explain now about the oldest brother coming back from midinat hayam? In Shomimla, am I? Nintar, let us wait. Dimo ati v'chalitz. Maybe he'll come back and perform Chalitza at this point in time. Now, it depends which way the question's going here. Is it a question on the other Manda Amar and saying, why don't you wait for him to come back and do Chalitza? You think the Chalitza of the Gadol is better than anybody else doing anything, so let's wait for him. Or, if the other Girsa here is Dilma Ati Umiyabim, if you think Yibom is such a precedence over there also, why not wait for him to come back? Elo, Kol Shuyim Mitzvah Lo Mishahinan. We don't wait around to take care of a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to do at hand. We're not going to delay the taking care of the mitzvah. Itam, right? Now there's another way to explain their machloket over here. The bia kuli amalo plige. Everybody agrees that with regards to yibom, that takes precedence. The bia katana difa. That is better than the gadol doing chalitza ki plige. Where's the argument? Chalitzat katan. With the chalitza of the younger brother. Again, not a minor, but of a younger brother. Behochai itmar. And this is the question. Chalitzat katan, chalitzat gadol. When it comes to the question of competition between the oldest and a younger brother performing chalitza, which one gets precedence? Pligi bar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Again, chara amar chalitzat gadol adifa. We give precedence to the gadol, not only with regards to yibum, but also with regards to chalitza. The mitzvah is on the gadol in either way, whether it's yibum or chalitza. Now, yibum will always get precedence, and therefore, if anybody wants to perform Yibum, they go first. But if it's Chalitza and Chalitza, then the Gadol is the mitzvah on him. When do we say that Gadol has precedence? That's only in the world of Yibum. Once they're performing Chalitza, why do we care who performs the Chalitza in the end? Because in the end, they're going to not be together. So, Mandamar Chalitza Gadol Adifa Daha Mitzvah B'Gadol. Mitzvah Gadol means whether it's Chalitza or Yibum. Vidach. And the other party says, Ki Amrina Mitzvah Gadol Inyan Yibum. That's only if they're going to go on the positive side. Again, with regards to chalitza, everyone is equal. Again, you could view this machloket through the same two prisms that we said before, whether they're arguing about the relationship of chalitza to yibum. Is chalitza and yibum equal, and therefore mitzvah begadol applies equally to both of them? Or is yibum really the only mitzvah here? Chalitza is the way to unwind it. Therefore, by yibum, there's mitzvah begadol. By chalitza, it doesn't matter who performs the chalitza. It's just a way to release her from the problem. Or you can view it as a question of priorities here. We have two principles, mitzvah begadol, and the question of yibum ha-chalitza. Now, yibum, everybody says, goes first. When it comes to chalitza, when you have the conflict between those two principles, maybe over there, it doesn't matter anymore. Maybe by the case of chalitza, we'll say that the priority of gadol carries less weight. With regards to yibum, it carries a lot of weight. When it comes to chalitza, it carries less weight. Or the other opinion says, no, that even Gadol there carries as much weight by Chalitza as does by Yibum. Has nothing to do with the relative importance of Yibum or Chalitza. Right now, the Gemara brings a question. Tanan, our Mishnah. Lo ratzu chozrim etzel Gadol. It says there, if they don't want to do it, we go back to the oldest. My lab, lo ratzuli yabeim el alachlotz. Nobody wants to perform yibum except everyone's willing to do chalitza. Tani and says, chosrim et ala gadol. Shma mina chalitza gadol adifa. Why are we going back to the gadol? Elohim kain, the chalitza should be performed by the gadol. Or it says, lo ratzu, lo lachlotz, lo yabeim. We answer the same way again. Nobody wants to do anything. The kavate gabe the gadol. So by the gadol also, lo ratzu lachlotz, lo yabeim. Elohim chosrim et ala gadol. So then why do you go back to the gadol if nobody wants to do it? The answer is, mikfei. Because we're going to push him. We're going to force him to act. So, l'kviyai l'didhu, why don't we force the other brothers? Why are you forcing the oldest brother? Came into mitzvah, le didei rami, le didei kaifina. Since the mitzvah's on him, we're going to force him in the end to act over here. Tashma. Talabi gadol achiyavo mi midinat hayam. We're going to say, let's wait for the oldest brother to come back from midinat hayam. Ain't shomim lo. We don't wait for him. V'isagadat chalitza gadol adifa. If you think the chalitza of the gadol is better, amai ain't shomim lo. Nintar. Dilma ati b'chalitz. Let's wait and see if he wants to perform chalitza over here, because he's the oldest. The mitzvah is with the oldest to perform chalitza. Uli tameich b'katan ad shiagdil. Wait a minute. And your question, if you think that's a question, what about a minor until he gets older? In shomlim lo, amai. Nintar dilma gadol miyabim. According to you, that's a question on both positions. Wait till him gets older. Maybe we'll perform yibum. And everybody agrees yibum goes before chalitza. Ella, why don't we wait for the katan to grow up? We don't wait around. If the mitzvah can be done now, we take care of the mitzvah now. I think both from the perspective of, we don't want to be mishahem mitzvah. We don't want mitzvah to ferment. We don't want it to wait around. But also importantly from the side of the woman. We're not going to force her to wait around here unnecessarily and be in limbo during this period of time. We don't know if anything's going to happen. So for that reason, we say, take care of the mitzvah right away. We have a mission over there. This is going to lead us into a big machloket as to the practices today with regards to Yibum and Chalitza. There are major machloket Rishonim as to how to deal with the different positions along the way. So here we go. Mitzvah Yibum kodem in the mitzvah Chalitza. Mitzvah Yibum takes precedence over mitzvah Chalitza. Berishonash, are you mitkavim l'shem mitzvah? In the beginning, when they used to do it l'shem mitzvah, Akshav, she'em mitkavim l'shem mitzvah, now that they don't have kavanah l'shem mitzvah, Amru mitzvah chalitza kodem the mitzvah yibum. So it changed. Originally, we gave precedence to yibum over chalitza because people were doing the yibum for the right reason, which is the hakim zera, the achiv. But then people started to do it for the wrong reasons, which the Gemara will discuss later in the daf, what those wrong reasons are, but whether because she was pretty, whether because he wanted the brother's Yerusha, all sort of ulterior motives that made it problematic. Now we have a statement of Rav, and it's not clear what the statement of Rav is going on. Amar Rav, ein kofin. We don't force. Ein kofin what? What is Rav referencing in the previous Mishnah that we just quoted that he says, ein kofin? The way Rashi reads it is that we're not kofer l'tzad chalitza. The reference is to the latter half of the Mishnah, which is the case where it says that we, nowadays, we say we give precedence to chalitza over yibum. Ein kofin, we don't force it. What does that mean? Rashi says, if we have a consensual yibum over here, we don't force them to do chalitza. But if one of the two parties dissents, then we force chalitza. Now, obviously, in the case where the husband dissents, he can perform chalitza. That's not a problem. The question is with regards to the woman. When she dissents, can we force him to perform chalitza? That's what Rashi says, yes. In that case, we will force him to perform chalitza, because the only case where nowadays we let you perform yibum is when it's consensual from both sides, so we don't have this problem of eshet ach because of the ulterior motives over here. We assume if they're doing the right thing and they're both consensual, then we're okay with it, and we're not going to force the situation or force chalitza. Rashi brings evidence to his position, something that when we read it early in the Masechta, I pointed out is not such evidence to Rashi's position. Rashi says here that we have those cases where he's a mukeshkin or a borsi. Over there, we say that she's allowed to demand chalitza, even though normally he can be performed yibum be'al korcha, and he doesn't need to get her acquiescence for the yibum. Nevertheless, if he's a mukashchin, the Gemara said earlier on, she's allowed to object. Well, why is she allowed to object? That's what Rashi says. That's based on this. That if she doesn't want to perform yibum, we come in and protect her, and we force him to do chalitza. And he brings evidence from that. As I mentioned when we read these in the Gemara, that's not such a great case, because the Gemara in Ketubot mentions that these people are very difficult. And even if a woman marries this type of person, she can in the end say, I can't handle it. And even more so, even if she's married to a borsi, and she handles the smell, if his brother's also a borsi, she can say, I could handle his smell, I can't handle your smell. She has a right to opt out here because these are such extreme objective problems. These are objectively, nobody would want to be in these situations, and therefore we protect her. But in cases where she just says, I don't want to, we wouldn't necessarily protect her. And that's what Tosafot says. Tosafot says, I don't think Rashi's proofs are a good proof because I don't see these as being paradigms. I see these as being exceptional cases where we protect her, not the paradigm. And therefore, Tosafot comes up with a different explanation and says, Rabbeinu Tam Garis. He had a different gear so that there was one little line before Rav spoke over here, which is, Mitzvah Yibum Kodemet the Mitzvah Chalitza. The Mitzvah Yibum goes before Chalitza. Amarav in Kofin. We don't force it. Kai Abarishona. It's going back on the first half of the Mishnah. So as opposed to Rashi, who says it's going on the second half of the Mishnah, the Rabbeinu Tam is saying it's going on the first half of the Mishnah, meaning Barishona. When they were mitkavein to do yibum l'shem mitzvah, we nevertheless are not kofer them to do yibum. Even though yibum goes before chalitza, if they don't want to do yibum, if he doesn't want to do yibum, we don't force him to do yibum, even though that was the better situation, even though people were doing l'shem mitzvah, we don't force it in that case. And then the Gemara will move later on into a position Rabbi Shaul, and then we'll deal with what all this means, the halacha. So let's continue in the Gemara now. Kiatu. The Kamei Derav, Amar Lahu, Ibait Chalutz, Ibait Yabim. Says, whatever you want to do, Bididach Tal Rachmana. The Torah says, it's up to you. Vimlo Yachbotza Ish, Haim Chafetz, Ibai Chalitz, Ibai Yabim. So it's here, Pasuk says that if you don't want to do that, this is the procedure. Implying that you get to decide what you want to do. Do you want to perform Yibum? Do you want to perform Chalitza? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's going on the Yibum side of this. If you want to perform Yibum, that's fine. If you don't want to perform Yibum, we're not going to force you, and you get to choose Chalitza. That means the choice is open to you to perform Chalitza and not perform Yibum. Berishona. According to Rashi, it is even Bachrona. Even the case where we give precedence to Chalitza, if you choose to do Yibum, you have that choice, and we can't stop you if there's consensual Yibum over here. What we won't allow is Yibum Baal Korcha anymore, and that's where we say Kofin. Rav Rabbi Yehuda Savar in Kofin. Rabbi Yehuda also holds in Kofin over here. Midiitkin Rabbi Yehuda begita de chalitza, because the language that Rabbi Yehuda uses in the get chalitza. Now chalitza does not require a get. Rabbi Yehuda seems to have instituted a get chalitza, which has brought down the halacha, that even though it's not necessary, it's a good thing to have a get chalitza. It's a good thing to have a documentation of the chalitza. But the language that he uses shows us what his position is vis-a-vis kofin. Now in terms of kofin, the way that normally we learn kofin is that kofin literally means kofin uto, with lashes, and Beit Din uses any resources at their disposal. On the other hand, the Gra says over here that nir be'enai, that when we say kofin, it means b'milei, with words. That sometimes we have to coax him. We have to encourage him to do the right thing. And that the kofin over here is not literally that we hit him, but rather through verbal coaxing, verbal kfiya. And we try to push him in the right direction. This might be because there's a tosfot with regards to tzedakah in the Gemara and Chulin, as well as other places where Tosfot talks about the issue of kofin by mitzvah tasei. Over there he says the word kofin also does not mean to use physical force, but rather through wording to be kofet. So that might be also over here when he said kofin, it means through wording and not through physical force. So now, what does the get of chalitza say? It says, ich plonit bat ploni, you woman, daughter of so-and-so, karvat yat ploni yivama kadmana lebeidina, you came before us with your yabam to the Beit Din. Vishtmo inhu, dachua de mitna mi abaninhu. And we clarified, or evidence was brought to us, that this individual is the brother of your husband from the father. The amri lay, itzavit the yabim yabim. If you want to perform yibam, go ahead. Vilo. If you do not want to do it, itla la ragleich, the yamina, extend out your right leg. Vi itla la raglo, the yamina, Ve'lala ragla diyamina, he sticks out his right leg. Ve'sheret sine malugli, she unties the shoe from his foot. Ve'arakt banpohi, and then she spits in front of his face. Roka dimitchazi lebeidina, spittle that is visible to the dayanim, which we'll see that's part of the process of chalitza. Alara, on the ground. She doesn't spit in his face. She spits in front of his face onto the ground. Ve'rabbi chia baravya misayim ba mishmed Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Chiya bar Avi adds on, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Ve'akrinu ma'dekti b'sefer raita de Moshe. And we read to him the Parsha of Yibum that is in the Torah. Rashi over here says it's not the whole Parsha of Yibum that we read to him, but rather, Lo chafatzi lakachta. From the point in the Parsha of Lo chafatzi lakachta, which is the part about Chalitza, could argue that he'd read them the whole parsha of Yevama, so he knows what's going on here. First of all, we prove from here that he says, Itzavit liyabeim yibeim vilo, that you have a choice. You're willing to go ahead and perform Yibum, go ahead. If not, you perform Chalitza. So you see over here, we don't force him. It, written in the document is this idea that he was given the choice to perform Yibum and Chalitza. And that's how we see that Rabbi Yehuda also, like Rab, believes Ein Kofin, that we do not force anything over here. Now, Ishtemod Inhu, we've identified or clarified that he is the brother of the deceased through the father. What does that mean? We've clarified or identified. Where do they get the information? Think about Rav Acha, Ravina, Chadamar Beidim. You have witnesses come and testify. Chadamar Afilu Karoba Filisha. That you don't need real edut over here. Even a relative, even a woman can come and testify. V'hilchata, and the loch is Giluye Milta Ba'almuhu. This is simply a Giluye Milta, just revealing information that is known. It's not real edut, it's not real testimony over here. We have the same thing with regards to a bechor. By a bechor, identifying the bechor, if the father says that hikir, that I recognize or I acknowledge that he is the bechor, if I identify him as the bechor, then he is the bechor. We don't need any other evidence to that fact. Again, these are things that, first of all, ate levrure. These are things that will be clarified. I mean, these are facts. Even if you lie about them, the information will come out and we'll get the information. So there's, first of all, no reason to lie. And number two is, we're not trying to have a dude, real testimony here. We're just trying to make sure that this is the case. Whoever's presenting themselves over here is really the brother. And therefore, anybody can do that identification. We don't need full-fledged a dude to do that. Now, we go back to the Mishnah. So there we get precedence to Yibum. Then mitzvah chalitza takes precedence. Amar Rami bar Chama Rabbi Yitzchak chazru lomar. They went back and said mitzvah yibum kodem mitzvah chalitza. Samalei Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak akshure darei. So he says, wait a minute, what happened here? The dorot got more holy? They got better? So there was a time period where we gave precedence to yibum. Then we said people weren't doing it for the right reason, so we stopped yibum and we said chalitza takes precedence. Then Rav Chama bar Yitzchak Amar Yitzchak says, no, right, they went back. Now we do yibum anyway. What do you mean you do Yibum? They got better. The dorot were going downhill and now all of a sudden we got better. So now we do it. So Mikara Savre Lo Kaba Shaol. No, the difference is that he originally thought the Locha was like Abba Shaol. Lusov Savre Lo Ki Rabbanon. In the end, he thinks the Locha is like the Rabbanon. The Tanya. And here is the Machloka. And this is the Nafkamina Locha for us today. Abba Shaol Omer. Akoneset Yivim Tol Shem Noi. Person who marries the Yivama because she's beautiful. Lushum ishut, which ishut here does not mean to be a wife, because if it was just to be a wife, then that would be the right thing to do. But lushum ishut over here either means for companionship, or to service him, or for Yerusha, like lushum davar acher, because he's after the money of his brother. Whatever reason it is, the ulterior motive that is driving over here, kilo pogea be'erva. Zif, he is pogea be'erva, meaning that he's marrying Eshedach. There's a chiyub karet, and it's a problem of erva. And the child born of that marriage, in my eyes, is close to being a mamzer. How you read this, there are three different approaches in the Rishonim. How to read this, the Ramban believes this is Deoraita. That he thinks, Abishol here thinks there's a problem Deoraita, that there's an Eshed Ach problem Deoraita. On the other hand, others believe that the problem here is Deoraita, but it's simply an overlay. And Ochanami, that the Yibum can be performed, but it's a problem, it's a negative thing, Doraita. There's a bad thing here, but it's not an Iser Erba, it's not an Iser Karet, Doraita. And there are others that say that it's all Drabonon, because you see in the Lashon of Abba Shaul, he says, Ki'ilu Pogea Be'erva, Karovani Be'enai. I mean, that smells bad, it looks bad, but it isn't a problem, Doraita, it's only a problem, Drabanan. V'chamim omim, Yivama, Yivola, Mikom Makom. Chamim say, we don't look at motives, the mitzvah is to do Yibum, and Yibum is the mitzvah. What the machlok between the Chachamim and Abba Shaul is, in the Kobetz Arot, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman says that the machlok here has to do how you view the mitzvah of Yibum versus Eshed Ach. Right? Do you view the mitzvah of Yibum versus Eshed Ach, which is, it's a mitzvah to say, doche alot asay, it's a dechia in some sort? Or do you see that the mitzvah to say is hutra vis-a-vis the negative Eshed Ach? So, if it's hutra, then once we say that Eshed Ach is out of the picture, then the mitzvah of Yibum is there no matter what. It doesn't matter really what the ulterior motives are. You gotta do them. You can do the mitzvah because it overrides. On the other hand, if you think it's dechuya, then maybe motives matter. And that, the Ramban describes the mitzvah to say as being me'ahava, and the mitzvah to lota say being from yira. So therefore, we say that the mitzvah asay of alva, doing a mitzvah mi'alva, always trumps doing a mitzvah mishum yira. But that's only true if you're doing it the kavanata mitzvah, if you're doing it really for the mitzvah itself, then you can say I'm doing mi'alva. But if you're doing it for ulterior motives, you lose that ability to have a say dokalota say because you're no longer doing it mi'avata mitzvah, doing that mi'avata isha, not mi'avata mitzvah, and therefore you no longer have in place the asay dokalota say. Or you just say that it's a case of dechuya. It's not so clear that this asay knocks off the lot asay if you're not doing it for the right reasons. And that's how Rav Yochanan Wasserman, the Kibbutz Oros, explains this machloka between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim. So man tana lahad de tanu Rabbanan. Who is the author of this, right? Yivama yavo alea. Mitzvah shebetchila ita lav, bichlau heter, nesra, v'chazra v'hutra. So now, a case where there was a mitzvah that came upon him in the beginning that was mutar. It became asur. V'chazer v'hutra, and then it became mutar again. Yachol tachzor leheter arishon. You think it goes back to the original heter? Tamalomar yivama yivola mitzvah. Yivama yivola says only by mitzvah. Mantana. Who's the author of this position? So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Dimi Abba Shaul hi. This is Abba Shaul. It's a cryptic brayta. And now we want to know, how do we explain this brayta? We said, Yivama Vola is mitzvah. Then it says, V'shchita t'chila ita la bichlal heter. Normally, originally it was mutar. Then it became asur. And then it went back to its original heter. So now, how do we explain this cryptic brayta? So Rav Yitzchak bar Dimi says, Abba Shaul, and this is what it means. Yivama Yivola mitzvah shebetchila ita la bichlal heter. In the beginning, the heter legamrei. Ratzel l'shem noi konza, ratzel l'shem ishut konza. If he wants to marry, he can marry her for whatever reason it was. Up front, before she was a married woman, he had a choice. If he wanted to marry this woman, he could. If he didn't want to marry her, he could choose not to. Nesra. Then it became asur. Then this woman married his brother. And she became asura at that point in time. He no longer could marry this woman. Chazra v'hutar. Then v'hutra. Yachol tachzor le'ter arishon. Go back to the way it was originally. Tamaloma yivama yivola mitzvah. Only if it's the shame mitzvah, otherwise, no go. Then his brother passed away, and all of a sudden now, Hutra, she's now available to him. Now, in the instance now where she's available to him, how do we look at that? Is that similar to the Heter HaRishon? In the beginning, he had a choice. Did he want to marry this woman, or did he not want to marry this woman? It was up to him, for whatever reason, whatever his pleasure was, he could decide. Is that also true with regards to performing the mitzvah of Yibum? That's what the Breita comes to tell us. Le mitzvah. It can only be done le mitzvah, and therefore the performance of Yibum is different than the option that he had up front with regards to the option to marry her or not marry her before she married his brother. Rava amara filu teimer rabbonon. We can even explain this according to the rabbonon. V'achik amar yivama yivo aleha mitzvah. Shebetchila ita bichlal heter. In the beginning, it was heter. Ratza konza, ratza in konza. In the beginning, he had a choice. He wants to marry, he doesn't want to marry her. Nesra. Then it became Asura. Chazra Hutra. Yochol Tavzor Le Mehetera Rishon. You would think it goes back to the original situation, which is Ratzah Kunsa, Ratzah Ein Kunsa. Meaning that he has a choice, whether he wants to form Yibum or not. Mar says, Ratzah Ein Kunsa. What do you mean that if he doesn't want to marry her? Hagida Bey. He's connected to her. Bichtei Tzipuk. She can leave without anything. Ela Ema Ratzah Kunsa. Ratzah Cholotzla. Either he wants to marry her or do chalitza with her. Tamalomar yivamalea mitzvah. Mitzvah is with Yibum, and therefore we're going to favor Yibum over chalitza. We're going to stop here. We'll discuss the halachic ramifications of this. We're going to stop here because the Gemara is going to go on and bring the ratio of this braita and then try to challenge the positions of the Amoraim here, Rova and Rav Yitzchak bar Dimi, about how they explain this braita in Abba Shaul versus the Chachamim, where Abba Shaul reads it, Yevamo Velea is le mitzvah. That's how he reinterprets the word mitzvah over here. Whereas Rova keeps the word mitzvah, meaning mitzvah, means Yibum takes precedence over Chalitza. Now regarding Halacha, our Gemara over here leans heavily in favor of the Chachamim, which makes it seem like Halacha is like the Chachamim. Whereas Tosafot points out that in many other places in Shas, that he says, Rabbeinu Tam Halacha Kabba Shaul Kestam Matnita and Debechora, because there's Stam Mishnayot, and other sugyot in the Gemara that seem to heavily support the position of Abba Shaul. For that reason, it became a machaloket about whether the halacha is like Abba Shaul, that we favor Chalitza today and we don't do Yibum anymore, or like the Chachamim, which is you still have a choice, and even will give precedence to the mitzvah of Yibum. For that reason, different practices came up in different communities. Time of the Geonim, different communities had different practices with regards to Yibum and Chalitza, whether they favored Chalitza or Yibum. And that persisted a little bit into the time of the Rishonim, at this point in time that it's pretty muskam that we only perform chalitza, we no longer perform yibum anymore, partly because of the takanat Rabbeinu Gershom, which is that we don't take multiple wives, which obviously creates a much bigger problem with the terms the yibum if the other brother's married. But even in the case where the other brother's not married, we still favor chalitza today, like the position of Abba Shaul. Okay, we'll stop here on the last line of Lamed Tet Amud Bet.